around 47% of the people with high blood pressure in Lancashire and South Cumbria are currently walking around without knowing they have high blood pressure and are untreated. Hi, my name's Andy Knox. I'm a GP in Carnforth and Milnthorpe, so between the Lancashire and Cumbria border in Morecambe Bay. I'm also Associate Medical Director for Lancashire and South Cumbria, particularly focused on population health and tackling health inequalities.
Dr. Andy Knox is on the front line when it comes to treating cardiovascular disease, CVD. Over years, his work in Lancashire and Cumbria has confirmed that it stubbornly remains his biggest headache, one that recent events have made worse.
Well, it's such a big issue for us because, one, it is the number one cause of early death. So we've got to really focus on that together and work out what we can do to change that story. People are dying too early, especially in our areas of greatest disadvantage from heart attacks and strokes. And even if they're not dying from them, those are life-changing events. So in terms of sickness, long-term sickness potentially, and people then not being able to work, and the implications of that for people economically, both in their personal lives and for the wider economy, this is having a really, really profound impact. And we know that the four kind of biggest risk factors that we're facing around cardiovascular disease, number one is smoking still by a long way, then uncontrolled blood pressure, unhealthy weight, and high cholesterol. So those four things together, by an absolute mile, are having a profoundly negative impact on the health and well-being of people living in Lancashire and South Cumbria.
And what's the situation like? I imagine COVID, the pandemic, is probably the last thing you needed, to be people not coming for advice or help, staying at home as we were advised to do. Has that had an impact now? Is it still lasting? And how long do you think it'll last for?
Yeah, it's been a huge impact. I think COVID itself highlighted for us, exactly as Sir Professor Michael Marmot said, that, you know, the inequalities, the inequities in our society in terms of health outcomes were significantly worsened by COVID. So we've seen an even bigger increase now in the life expectancy between those in our most affluent communities and those in our most disadvantaged communities. But we're also recognising that the impact in terms of access then to healthcare for people through COVID has meant that people have stayed away, or people have sat on situations, or perhaps understandably through COVID maybe had less healthy lifestyles. And so now we're beginning to see the impact of that in terms of wider societal health. And again, cardiovascular disease has come out top as the biggest cause, unfortunately, of major illness or early death again. So COVID, unfortunately, exacerbated things in and of itself, but then the overlay of the impact of that in terms of the wider health issues has also been profound. And we have, on top of that, a really tired, burnt out workforce who are doing the very best they can to catch up on all of this work. And there's an understandable underlying pressure narrative that, gosh, we have to now catch up, we have to get all of this stuff, we have to get these people in through our doors, and we have a workforce who are really, really tired and feeling on the ropes. So we have to do this catch-up work in a way that doesn't actually drive people out of the NHS professionally, and we do it with real compassion and kindness, both to the people who work within the NHS, but also recognising that there is some vital work that we need to focus on in terms of how we serve and work with our communities.
Prevention can be effective. The pandemic has focused minds on how best to build on work that was already underway. Dr. Julia Reynolds is from the Innovation Agency. As CVD Prevention Programme Lead, she's looked into the effect the pandemic has had in this area of health.
COVID was a big problem, particularly in our region. It's a problem everywhere because people weren't going into their GP practices for their routine health checks. And unfortunately, you know, people were having heart attacks and strokes at home often, and they weren't going in to hospitals or being able to access the help they needed in a timely way. So, for example, we've got some idea of the figures now in terms of people that we knew that had high blood pressure. Obviously, there's always a gap between the people who have a condition and the people we know about. But we do have good data to give us a reasonable expectation of what that might be. So, for example, before COVID struck, we knew that we'd picked up about 66%, or, you know, moving towards 70% of our population who had high blood pressure. And we were very pleased, and we were making good progress with that. Unfortunately, due to COVID, that figure drastically reduced. Some of it was due to people not going in and having their regular health checks, but in some areas it was as low as 20%. So we've got a big hill to climb back up to business as usual. Things are improving. We've had a lot of initiatives such as the BP at Home initiative, which is allowing people to take their blood pressure at home. Now, these initiatives sound simple. Give somebody a blood pressure device and they will take their blood pressure at home and all will be good. But actually, the reality of the situation is you've got to set up the system to be able to receive those blood pressure results, to be able to slot in. If they're normal, that's fine. They might not need to see a health professional, but actually that health professional needs to know that they're fine. How do you identify people to give them the blood pressure machines? What training do they need? What digital apps do they need to use to be able to give that reading in? What people have actually got their own blood pressure machines so that they're able to do it themselves. So there's actually quite a lot of work to do to set that up. And we're very pleased to have been part of that work to help the system. And we're hoping to continue that into 2023 and 2024.
Back at the surgery, Dr. Andy Knox agrees and says there's more work to be done to make the most of the opportunities as well as the challenges that life in 2023 offers.
I'm a real advocate of primary care. I absolutely believe in the beautiful role that primary care plays, but it's been hugely underinvested in. So we've had a model that's very, very focused on hospital care and what hospitals can do. And that's often the stuff that grabs the headlines. It's the stuff that has political capital attached to it. But actually, the vital role that primary care plays in a community in terms of how well people are known by their GP or by their local pharmacist or by their optician pays absolute dividends in terms of people's overall health and well-being. And we know that where there's greater areas of disadvantage, there are less primary care services available and those populations are more sick. So the more influence we can have in putting the right kind of services into areas where the need is greatest, the better things are going to be. However, unfortunately, right now, the funding formula works against that, and we are finding recruitment into those areas even more difficult. So I think that there are some fundamental things that we need to do. We need to massively invest in primary and community care. That includes pharmacies, but also massively includes GPs. We're 7,000 GPs short nationally, and that is much worse in our areas of greatest disadvantage. So we need to also shift the funding formula to make sure we're putting more people and the right kind of resources into areas where the need is greatest if we're going to see the kind of work that we need to do around the backlog in cardiovascular disease, for example, really, really begin to make a change. However, that said, there are ways that we can work smarter now with using different roles within the community better. And there are certain things that, for example, pharmacists do brilliantly around recognizing the early signs of cardiovascular disease and making sure that people are, first of all, making lifestyle adjustments, but also then prescribe the right kind of medications to help them be more healthy and well. That, you know, we should be absolutely all playing to our strengths and all recognizing that the roles that we have can be used better than they are being used right now.
What about the phrases that have been used around the NHS for certainly recent years, digital health, remote monitoring, things like that? What role do you think innovation has then in this area of health in the future?
I think it has a huge role. So, you know, if we take blood pressure alone, right, let's just talk about that. It is, after smoking, the single biggest cause of people dying early from a heart attack or stroke, an uncontrolled blood pressure, okay? And we know that, really, we should be aiming for everyone to have a blood pressure of 135 over 85 or less. Or, if they're over 75, 150 over 90 or less, okay? Those aren't difficult numbers to remember. And yet, around 47% of the people with high blood pressure in Lancashire and South Cumbria are currently walking around without knowing they have high blood pressure and are untreated. right? Now, there are lifestyle adjustments we can all make to improve our blood pressure, having less caffeine, having less alcohol, stopping smoking, having less salt, increasing our fluid intake, exercising more. You know, there are some really barn door obvious things that we can all do to lower our blood pressures and live more healthy lives. But also, the reality is the stress and strain that it puts on your heart or potentially your brain to be having uncontrolled high blood pressure is absolutely profound, right? So what we want people to know is, we want them to know their numbers. What is your blood pressure? Do you know your blood pressure? If you don't, your local pharmacy can help you know what that is. Your local primary care center probably has a blood pressure monitor just in the reception area, which you can go and put your arm in for free and find out what it is. You can buy a machine for about 20 quid and then know your numbers all the time at home and be monitoring that. The problem is that because most of us don't know we've got high blood pressure, people think, oh, if I've got high blood pressure, I'd have changes in my vision, or I'd feel dizzy, or I'd have a headache, or I'd just feel a bit breathless. Not true at all. The vast majority of people with high blood pressure actually don't know they've got high blood pressure. And so they're walking around unaware, and then bang, they have a really severe, sudden incident that is catastrophic and life-changing. And if you talk to some of my patients who had, you know, really life-changing strokes in their early 50s, the impact on them psychologically, in terms of their body, in terms of their well-being, in terms of their work, everything changes. Like, it's not something that we should all be a bit blasé about, oh, it probably won't happen to me. It could absolutely happen to any of us. High blood pressure doesn't have mercy on people just because they're good or because they work hard. In fact, the harder we work and the more stressed we are, potentially, the more our blood pressure might be up. And some of this runs in families. And there's nothing you can really do about that. So what's vital is, for example, that with blood pressure, that we know our numbers. If we know our numbers, and actually all of us took more control over our own blood pressures and took it seriously enough, and if it was consistently over 135/85, or if we're over 75, over 150/90, then we should be booking an appointment with our local pharmacy team or with our GP and saying, what can I do about this? I'm hoping that we use the innovation that's available to us. We need to, right? We've got an overstretched, burnt out workforce. We've got a massive population health need. So therefore, we need to all put our thoughts and effort to the grindstone. And we need to use every bit of innovation and help that we can. So where we can use digital remote monitoring, and people can program things in through, for example, the NHS app, or use various other bits and pieces, where we can use the kind of technology that's available to us now, we need to be doing that. If we do that, and we have a really concerted effort on this across our public health teams and our population health teams and our GP surgeries and our pharmacies, the impact that we could make together in this area within a year would be absolutely profound. We know from the modelling, not only will it likely save the NHS millions of pounds, it will also actually prevent literally hundreds, if not thousands, of heart attacks and strokes across Lancashire and South Cumbria. It's a no-brainer. It's a really simple, easy thing to do. And where we can use our innovation, where we can join up our strengths, where we can use all the different options that we have available to us, we must do that. And that's why I'm so grateful for our work with the Innovation Agency, because actually they bring innovation, they bring real new fresh ideas of the things that can practically help us do our work better. And what I've really appreciated about the way the Innovation Agency are working with us in Lancashire and South Cumbria is, it is, you know, I think there's sometimes a pressure for national programs, national drivers, you know, it's coming and it's layered on top of, rather than actually working together with, in programs that we already have in place, to come as like an adjunct or as a friend or as a helpful kind of draw alongside. And I've really appreciated the way that Julia and the whole team have worked actually in coming alongside us, in helping us to work effectively together and think about how we play to each other's strengths. So we're grateful for the innovation, we're grateful for the BP at home programs, we're grateful for a whole load of different ways of working. But what's really great is we're joining it up into one program that doesn't feel onerous or burdensome. It feels like we're properly working together. And so this year, for example, over Lancashire and South Cumbria, we're going to be rolling out what we call enhanced health checks into our communities that have the most health struggles. We're going to be proactively inviting people to come for blood pressure checks and whole health reviews. We're going to be reaching out and asking as many people as possible to make sure they know their numbers. And together with the help of the Innovation Agency and others, we're going to be making sure that we really, really make a difference to cardiovascular disease across Lancashire and South Cumbria over the next 12, 24 months. And I'm excited by the hope and the possibilities that are filled in this area.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Innovation Agency. You can read more about our work to tackle cardiovascular disease that's now underway across the North West Coast by going to our website. Just search CVD.